And now, podcasting from a two-person hot tub high atop the Butterfield Park Water Tower, it's the E-Town Lowdown with your handsome hosts, Robbie and Rick.
Hi, and I'm one of your hosts, Rick, and I'd like to introduce my other host,
Bob.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Fine.
Well, welcome to the E-Town Lowdown. This is our first show, and we're broadcasting from high above Butterfield Park, on top of the water tower from a two-person hot tub. We'd love to be broadcasting from a larger hot tub, but that's all we could get up on top of the water tower. Right, Bob?
That's right. It was really hard to get it up there.
I turned the bubbles off so you don't have to hear that in the background. We also have a special guest with us, our incredible, extraordinarily handsome producer, PK. Hi, PK. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing well. We're excited to have you with us for our first broadcast, and you'll be a guest in our studio many times, I'm sure.
I'm excited to help out and hope I can contribute.
Robbie, why don't you tell us about the mission that we have here at the E-Town Lowdown and tell all of our listeners out there.
Happy to, Rick. What we want to do is have a show that's educational. We want you to walk away having learned something about Elmhurst and some of the people that have lived here or still live here. We'll have a lot of topics that are of interest to you, and it's going to be a lighthearted show, something that we hope you are able to have a laugh or two with. And again, like I said, learn something. So
education is important to all of us, isn't it?
It is, and intellectual curiosity is really important. So,
and all three of us here were educated in Elmhurst. PK, tell us about your education.
I'm a product of the Catholic schools in Elmhurst, carrying on the great tradition started during the baby boom, and had my hand slapped a few times with some rulers, but I'm feeling very confident that I can help out.
Hand slapped by fellow classmates?
No, by the good sisters of St. Agnes.
Oh, great. Do you have any scars?
No scars, physically or mentally. Totally moving on. I've learned to forgive and forget.
Great.
Where's St. Andrews, BK?
It's in Scotland, isn't it?
St. Andrews. What does that have to do with it?
The good sisters.
St. Agnes.
St. Agnes.
Good sisters of St. Agnes of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Oh, I've been there.
And Robbie, tell us about your education here in Elmhurst.
Well, when I got out of prison, I went to York High School. Earlier than that, I actually went to Roosevelt. Is no longer there.
Yeah, it's a park kaput, now. Isn't it?
Was it Roosevelt or Roosevelt?
I couldn't really
Depends
talk
which
back then.
Side of York you lived on.
Wait, you went there for 6 years and you didn't know if it was Roosevelt or Roosevelt?
No, I couldn't talk.
And where did you go to junior high, Robbie?
I went to Sandburg.
Sandburg Junior High, the Spartans.
Spartans, but I had a year that I lived in Wooddale, but we only lived there for a year because everybody hated us. We got in too many fights, my brother and I. I'm just saying.
Opening up a whole can of worms
weren't
there.
Weren't you glad to be back in Elmhurst, though, eventually?
Yes.
Good old Elmhurst. And then you went to York High School.
I did.
What year did you graduate?
1978.
And our good producer, PK, what year did you graduate from?
High school.
And which high school was it again?
It was Immaculate Conception High School.
And what year did you graduate?
Now called IC Catholic Prep. That was 1979.
And I am a product of Washington Grade School, which is also has been knocked down in the late 70s, and Sandburg Middle School, and a 1982 graduate of York High School. I want to talk a little
Wait,
bit of...
Ricky.
Yes.
I used to hang out on the playground at Washington. It wasn't far from my house. Good place to catch a little b-ball.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We used to play basketball there, and...
I probably played against you, and we didn't even know it.
Probably. Were you the guy that took out my front teeth?
Well, I've lost my teeth on the playground myself, so it's quite possible I exchanged the favor.
In terms of the format for our podcast will always be less than an hour long. We'll release a new podcast about once a month, and you know where to find us because you found us already. But we look forward to bringing you interesting stories, have some celebrity guests with us every month. with the exception of today, with just the three of us that are involved with our podcast. But in the future, we'll have some interesting guests to talk about what's going on in town now and what happened in the past that we might want to hear more about and learn more about. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Wow. Guests of the Lowdown will receive an Elmhurst Eatown Lowdown coffee mug suitable for all types of beverages, courtesy of the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra.
And we're back after break, here with the Eatown Lowdown, featuring your hosts, Robbie and Rick. And as I mentioned earlier, we have our producer extraordinaire, PK, with us today. Say hello again, PK.
Hey, how we doing?
We're well. And PK, you were part of helping us decide where we were going to broadcast from. And as you know, we tried the water tower in Barron's Park, but we found that it was a little too close to the airplanes. So now you know why we're on the water tower in Butterfield Park and not Barron's Park.
Gotcha. Yes. There's a lot of plane traffic up there in the old north end.
There certainly is. And it's not getting any quieter, is it?
No, it's not.
Robbie, so in this next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about some places where we used to hang out when we were young, growing up in Elmhurst, some places that some of our listeners may remember, and some of our listeners may never have heard of these places. So any place in particular that comes to mind, Robbie?
You bet. A good friend of mine lived in an old Army hospital. It's now a cul-de-sac over between Prospect and Cottage Hill. There's a whole bunch of beautiful homes there now, but it had probably a 200-yard front yard, and the house was way set back. So we really had a great time playing football there, baseball, except when you would hit it over into the next-door neighbor's yard, he would run out of the house with a hoe and try and get us kids before we could get the ball. So he collected a lot of the balls. We used to call him the old man.
Wait, he ran out of the house with the hoe?
With the hoe, yeah. Gardening tool, let me be specific, yes.
Wait, and was it south of St. Charles? I'm trying to figure out where you're at.
South of St. Charles.
All right, yeah.
Between Cottage Hill and Prospect.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I know where you're at. Yeah,
Eggleston's the other border.
How old are you? You remember this?
Oh, yeah, I'm going back to when I was probably 12, 10, 12.
Wow.
I do not remember that. Granted, you're quite a bit older than I am.
Stop it, Rick.
PK,
yes, sir.
Anything you remember from your childhood in terms of places where you and your buddies used to hang out?
You know, not having a lot of time to prepare for this, but when you said hang out, I have to go to my, I think it was my college age time period. And when you said hang out, what immediately came to mind was the Elmhurst Gardens, the fine bar establishment on Park Avenue near Two Brothers.
Right, right.
I'm pretty sure it had a dirt floor, and I'm pretty sure I saw a man relieve himself in the corner of that bar.
Wow, that might be sharing just a little too much.
Well,
PK.
Hey.
This is a PG.
It left a memory in my head, that's for sure.
It's interesting because my memories were much cleaner than that. Memories of places like the Elm Roller Skating Rink, which was situated down in South Elmhurst near where Lexington Square Retirement Community is now.
Yeah, there was a putt-putt kind of miniature golf place there, right?
Oh, the south end of Elmhurst had all kinds of entertainment. You had a miniature golf course, which is was right along the creek and
I think that
flooded
was,
frequently.
I think that was owned by Jerome Urbick, if I recall.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, the Urbick family. The same Urbick family that's still
in
town?
Yeah, still in town, yeah.
That was a neat place, but it was underwater from time to time, and now it's an office building.
Yeah, lots of memories.
And the roller rink, as I said, and the bowling alley was right across the street from the roller rink.
Yeah.
And both of those closed in the late 80s and had opened, I believe, originally in the mid-50s.
You know, I'm pretty sure I bowled a 200 there on a Friday the 13th when I was a Cub Scout.
Really?
Yeah.
That's quite a score.
Not bad for probably a 12-year-old Cub Scout or something like that, right?
And did you...
How many games was that,
no, that,
PK?
That was one game, 200.
Did you recite?
That's why Friday the 13th is a good day for me, not a bad day.
Did you recite the oath? On my honor, I'll do my best to help my friends.
To do my duty, to guide my
country.
Shoot
the rest. Yeah.
And then I moved up to Boy Scouts, who were trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Robbie, any other places that you really enjoyed hanging out at when you were young?
Yeah, I would say the neighborhood around Prospect and St. Charles, where we used to have a lot of kids there, and we used to play it from starting out at after breakfast. You'd go out and not come back until dinner, because you go to different people's
houses.
Your
mom would call you on the cell phone and tell you to come home, right?
Yes, the cell phone. Yes, yes, that's it.
When you were going out and playing, what did that mean?
Well, we would go out and play sports. We'd play.
You weren't wrestling with people, were you?
I did. I cut my teeth wrestling in that neighborhood.
I think I remember you growing up.
But that's what we used to do here in town, right? We'd go hang out with our buddies all day long.
Yep.
Outside all day, and when you were young, it was until the streetlights went out, and then you got a little bit older, and you could stay out after the streetlights.
We'd have an agreed-upon time to check in with our parents here and there, and otherwise, we were free to do what we wanted and make stuff up, unlike the kids today. They don't know what to do with downtime.
I didn't have to check in with my parents. Does that mean they didn't care?
No.
You'd have to ask them, Robbie.
No, it means they were busy. They were busy raising the other the rest of the family.
Yeah, I was the good kid.
I also remember finally ice skating in town, and there were a lot of venues to do that. You could do that up at Barron's Park, York Commons, and my favorite place to ice skate was Wilder Park.
Hey, Ricky, another thing, I probably played hockey against you, because I would go up to Wilder, schlep our gear up there, strap on the skates, and play at Wilder Park for it seemed like hours. And we probably played against each other and didn't even know it.
You're the one who broke my nose, too. Wow.
It's funny.
I had no idea you were responsible for so many injuries.
Broke your nose at Wilder, broke your nose at Washington.
No, that was my teeth at Washington. Oh, I remember
sorry.
It well.
Yeah. Sorry.
I really do. But Wilder was neat. You can still see almost the grave of where the ice skating rink was, where they park.
Right
next to that little building just to the north of the Wilder Mansion. Also, how many kids in Elmhurst learn to either swim or skate or both at the Elmhurst YMCA?
Oh boy, I'm one for sure. Yeah,
same here. I used to live right across the street on Elm Street, 144 Elm Street.
You were the nightmare, huh?
Yeah, I was. But I remember.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say we had this candy machine inside that YMCA, and what you could do is you could pound on it in a certain place, and then the candy would come out and you'd get it for free. So after all, they caught on to it a little, within a month or so. But we did get a lot of candy out of that machine.
And I don't remember when it was, but there were many times when we'd go to the YMCA and hang out. Like, it seemed like we were there all day, playing basketball in the gym, swimming in the pool. It was like you were there all day. It was good times.
It was quite the gathering place, and there's still a lot of folks in town that use that on a regular basis to either work out or their kids learn to swim there. My wife, who's not even from Elmer, she's from our neighbor to the west, Villa Park. She grew up and learned how to swim at the Elmhurst YMCA. Also, I enjoyed the sledding hills we had in town.
Oh, yeah.
And there were three of them that I remember. There was one at Barron's Park that we went to occasionally. There was one at Crestview Park that I don't think I was ever at as a kid.
Eldridge was the biggie.
Eldridge was it, right?
Yeah, right.
And they actually...
That was the Alps of Elmhurst.
When they redid that park, they actually made that hill in relation to the bottom of the hill a little shorter. And I don't know if they just built up everything around it when they, because at one time I think it was a landfill.
Yeah, filled it with more land.
But it was quite the hill. It used to get really icy. Remember how many, half of Elmhurst was there on the right
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. That was great.
I remember a story. I have to share it with everybody. It has to do with Barron's sledding down the hill. Did either of you ever get run over by a toboggan?
Absolutely.
I broke my arm there. Was that you?
No, I didn't do that. I was sliding down on my butt, all right, sliding down the hill, and here comes a toboggan with three grown men on it, and they couldn't steer it. So it hit my leg and then ran my face over.
Yeah.
And it literally.
I figured there was something.
I used to look like Brad Pitt.
What were those?
Now you look like Brad's Pitts.
Wait, what were those sleds that had the red metal rails on them? Oh,
kind of like a radial flyer, wasn't it?
No, that was a wagon. Right?
Yeah, but I think they might have made a sled also.
Yeah, but those were brutal. I mean, they were great,
sharp
for sledding, but tough on the wipeouts.
No kidding. Break a few noses on those too.
I did. I had to have my nose reset, stuffed with cotton. It was bad.
Wow. Any other places you were fond of visiting as a kid?
Oh, man.
One of the ones I remember was we used to hang out along Wild Meadows Trace. We'd take our bicycles down there and ride up and down the hills, almost to Berkeley.
Really?
There were actually quite a few hills you could take your bikes down.
So is that part of the Prairie Path, or is it some of it is, right?
It's technically part of it is Prairie Path, but there's that area that's just to the north of the Prairie Path between Poplar and 294 had some hills back there.
Gotcha. Yeah, I had to stay away from the Prairie Path. My older brother got in trouble on the Prairie Path, so my parents didn't want me hanging out there, and I abided by their wishes.
I remember my brother coming home crying, having been at the Prairie Path, because somebody flashed him.
Really?
Another man, yeah, an older guy. So I had to call the police and everything.
Rich, was that you by any chance?
It was not me. No, no.
I'm sorry.
Way more modest than that.
Ricky, was that you?
Way more modest than that. Well, those are some fun times we had, and let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll hear about some businesses in town that may no longer exist, but we really enjoyed.
The E-Town Lowdown, brought to you by the wonderful folks at the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra, featuring the biggest bass drum in the world. At 9 feet in diameter. Yes, you heard that right. 9 feet in diameter.
And we're back here at the E-Town Lowdown with Robbie and Rick and our producer extraordinaire, PK.
Love
you
the polka.
You got to hear a little yodeling by Robbie over here.
Larry Roof.
No autographs, please.
Robbie's quite the yodeler. The next segment, we want to talk a little bit about some businesses that we miss that were in town when we were growing up. A few of them might still be around, but in a different iteration. So, PK, why don't you kick it off?
Got to bring up 31 Flavors. Baskin-Robbins right there on Park Avenue. Had a job there when I was 15. The Berghorns hired me.
You were a scooper?
I was a super scooper.
Super scooper.
Used to scoop ice cream for the gal that's now my wife.
Really?
Yes. And always charged her full price.
Really?
Well,
oh, I can't believe that.
I had to. I was an honest employee. We were actually very diligent about the size of the scoop and everything else. Oh, she always got a chocolate mint chip on a sugar cone.
Really? How many scoops?
Just one.
And were they the?
It's how she keeps that girlish figure.
The standard size scoop, or did you give her a little extra?
Ricky?
Yes.
Let's keep it clean.
Yeah, no, I always gave her the appropriate amount.
Awesome. Robbie, tell us about a few businesses that you missed that were in town when we were growing up.
Roberto's. I'm going back to where it was just a storefront right there on Spring Road, right across from the new docks.
Roberto is one of my all-time favorites. Got a lot of pizzas there growing up.
Fond memories of that pizza. The crust, I don't know, something about it. I haven't tasted anything like it.
I think they have great sausage. I think they make the sausage in-house. They used to, at least.
Actually, a lot of people say it's the sauce that's the special thing there.
At Roberto's?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not greasy as well. It's maybe it's a quality of the cheese that they use, but it's not greasy like some other.
PK, you know, any businesses you miss?
Well, I'm just thinking about pizza.
Pizza? Any other pizza places that were your favorites?
Well, it was a little bit down the road on St. Charles Road, so it wasn't quite in Elmhurst, but that Salerno's pizza, that was something that I have fond memories of. Lots of cheese, nice thick crust, really.
Not bad pizza for a place outside of Elmhurst.
Sorry to bring that up.
No, that's all right. That's all right. You know, wow. we can talk about our favorite memories from Salerno's. Yeah, was good
because
pizza.
It was when I was growing up that I ate that pizza when I was growing up in Elmhurst.
Gotcha. Any other places that you really miss, PK?
That I miss?
Or that you have fond memories of?
Well, I remember wandering up to Ruby's as a child with my mother to buy some clothes. And then later on in life, a couple buddies of mine worked at Ruby's. You know, they were like in high school.
Right.
Folding clothes for Jerry Ruby. And that was always kind of fun to go visit them. And across the street was Leonard's. And remember Mark Schweiss worked at Leonard's. And
sure.
He'd help me pick out some jeans and stuff. Actually, Bill Knippen, still in the fashion industry, I think. He was one of the original Leonard's employees.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ruby's and Leonard's. I remember them fondly. Ruby's, I've got some friends that work there, and Leonard's for that matter. And Ruby's closed in the last millennium. You believe that?
Wow.
It's been a while.
And really, it was, weren't they the ones that kind of gave up their ship to kind of create that whole downtown central business district?
That whole city center block there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Right.
That was completely redeveloped.
Which is awesome, because as my kids have grown up and hang out at the fountain, as they say, you know, it's become the focal point of the downtown business district, and where all the, you know, the kids hang out during the, you know, on a Friday night or whatever, and the parents come and pick them up and go to the movies and restaurants and everything else.
My hood was the south side of town, and we used to ride our bikes all the way from Bulletin York, which
you sound so tough. You went
exactly
to the south side of Elmhurst.
We grew up not far from Bulletin York, and we used to get permission to ride our bikes over to the Spring Road Business District occasionally. Most of the time, just Bulletin York. You know, we could go to the Rexall Drugs there, Villette Rexall at York and
that
Villette.
That was Howard Rexall Drugs.
Was that Howard, or was Howard the one on the south end? I don't remember. Was
I
it Howard?
I think he was Villette, yeah.
Okay.
I went to college for a little while with Jim Howard.
And but we used to, every once in a while, get to go all the way over to Spring Road, take the Prairie Path over there and make sure, you know, that we went quickly, didn't stop for any strangers. And there were a couple of neat places over on Spring Road that we really enjoyed. One of them was Hank's Corner, which is where the real estate office is right now, at the corner of Spring Road and the Prairie Path.
Really?
Yeah, that was
like the
was a soda fountain in there.
Berkshire Hathaway.
Exactly.
Office?
Exactly.
Really? Wow. Nice.
So there's a soda fountain, and you could buy little knickknacks and toys, and we do that. And the other place was
Hang on a second. That's Berkshire Hathaway, Mickey Mizinga.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And exactly.
Then, right. Okay. Just get my bearings straight here.
And if you went a little south on Spring Road, almost to the Algrim Funeral Home on that side of the street, on the east side of the street, was the Candy Bar.
Excuse me. You're talking about across the street from the Spring Inn.
Exactly.
The iconic.
I forgot you.
The
you,
iconic
navigate
Spring
via
Inn.
Taverns.
Now he's got his bearings.
Right. Exactly.
It's a fun place to be on the morning of the St. Pat's Parade.
But the Candy Bar was a really neat place. They had obviously.
That's a strip joint.
No. They had candy there and other little toys. And I remember a friend and I, we found these really neat little erasers that were shaped like cars and such that went on the end of pencils. And
is
we
that
showed
where
some,
an eraser goes?
Yeah, exactly. We showed some classmates these erasers, and they were just in love with them. So what we did was we got a little business going. We'd go down to the Candy Bar once a week, and we'd buy a bunch of these erasers. We didn't tell anybody where we got them. Pay about a quarter a piece and sell them for 50 cents a piece.
Wow. Entrepreneur.
Until the principal got wind of it. That stopped really quickly. Robbie, any other places that that you really miss?
Well, I got to tell you.
On a second. You should have been in the Shark Tank.
Yes.
Yeah.
If only the Shark Tank was a couple decades earlier.
Exactly. And BJ Turek and I in our, you know, $4.30 profit. What would that be worth today, PK?
I could see Mr. Wonderful saying, what are your sales?
Exactly. Robbie?
What about penny candy? Do you remember having a dollar and getting big bags full of candy?
I'm not that old.
Yeah, I do. Oh, that was
so
the
good.
Best.
Yes.
Gail Gilpin would drive us up to the White Hen in her Impala convertible. Ooh. Well, it wasn't a convertible. It was an Impala, and we'd get penny candy and have a dollar and get a bag full of candy. It was awesome.
It was fantastic.
So do you guys remember the record gallery?
Yes.
On York?
Absolutely.
I remember buying...
That was a head shop before head shops came around.
I remember buying Led Zeppelin's In Through the Outdoor there the day it was released.
Nice.
For whatever reason, that's the album I remember, and I'm sure
I think I bought my first album there, Dark Side of the Moon.
Really?
Speaking of...
Dark?
Dark.
You have a dark sense of humor, PK.
No, it was all good. It was special memories from the old Dark Side of the Moon.
But downtown was, a lot different. You had, Chopin's, obviously.
Yeah, I love Chopin's.
Did you ever go on Chopin's, Robbie?
I did. I got a baseball mitt there once. I had to take it back because it didn't fit.
Because your hand
fat
changes.
Fingers?
Yeah. Broke my finger and it
Wait,
was no
you,
use.
You bought it and had to take it back because it didn't fit?
Yeah, I didn't try it on there.
Oh, yeah.
If your fingers were
it's
thinner,
a lot of work. It's a lot of work to try it on before you leave the store.
Oh, no, I should have. In retrospect, I really should have.
You know, I've never seen a yodeler with thin fingers, so it worked out well, didn't it?
I love that Chopin's, though. How about it? There was like an old guy, whatever his name was. What was his name?
Mr. Chopin, probably.
Yeah, Mr. Chopin stood behind the counter smoking a cigar. You know, a nice athletic endeavor to be smoking a cigar right. while he's selling you sporting goods.
And wooden floors in there, right?
Absolutely.
Wooden floors? That was
and
fair.
Wasn't there like kind of a little loft, like a kind of an unknown area, like where they, I don't know.
I'm not aware of that.
I think they kept the jock straps up there or something like that.
Didn't they sell firearms too and ammunition?
You know,
which is a little known fact. I'm pretty sure they did. And, you know, now
I think you're right.
Wouldn't
city council
me.
Worries about selling them like they've never sold them before. But
wouldn't
they used
surprise
to.
Me. Yeah.
They, It was quite the place, and that's when a sporting goods store was a sporting goods store.
Absolutely.
It wasn't, you know, no spandex and all this stuff.
Where men were men.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And then a couple doors down, maybe even right next door, I don't remember, was Sue Cups Hardware.
Oh, I thought you were going to go to the other side of the fence, go to Honey Girl, where my dad would go and shop for a present for my mom. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And if you learned from that, you shop for presents for your wife at places like that?
I thought we're trying to keep this clean.
Yeah. We are.
That was Honey Girl was the Victoria's Secret of the 60s and 70s.
Really?
Yeah.
And it had, you'd go into one entrance and you could sneak out on the other street?
Right.
Where did he go? He didn't come out.
You didn't want somebody to see you buying a slip for your wife.
Exactly. Is that what your dad would buy for your mom?
Every year, a new slip, whether she needed it or not.
And then, of course, there was Al's Hobby Shop. I'm sure, Robbie, you've been in there.
Loved it.
I used to go in there often. I used to buy their Estes rocket engines.
Oh, yeah.
And a little fuse, and you could make homemade fireworks.
Yes. We made bombs with the chemicals from Al's Hobby Shop.
That explains why you were banned from there, Robbie. Sorry. You were banned from a lot of places.
There were
neighborhoods. Schools.
Neighborhood schools, you bet.
There were two things I liked at Al's Hobby Shops. The chemicals for the bomb warfare, whatever you want to call it. And then the other thing was magic tricks. They sold magic tricks, and that was pretty cool.
Did you learn how to?
Yeah, it was fun.
Do the magic tricks?
Yeah, you know, like the three ball thing and the, you know, the. You're looking at me funny.
You say that again?
Oh, forget it.
Let's go somewhere else.
Yeah, let's move on.
Here's one. How about Stephen's Steakhouse? Anybody?
Classic.
Any of you guys been there?
Hey, grew up with Mark Stevens. His family hung on to that place forever. But I remember going there, talking about memories. I remember going there for 8th grade graduation celebration. Myself and Joe Tate. And Joe Tate was sporting a beautiful light blue polyester suit.
Joe Tate, to know him is to love him.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I you know, that's one thing I don't think I'd want to see is Joe Tate in the blue,
light blue
polyester
suit. It was awesome.
Wow.
At Stephen's Steakhouse.
But, you know, there was a time in the 80s when the traditional American steakhouses kind of went out.
Right.
But they're back now.
Yeah.
We missed them, right?
It was ahead of its time, right?
Exactly.
Or, you know what, it was kind of like a suburban version of a, what do you call it, Wisconsin?
Supper club?
Supper club. There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, way to go there, yeah,
hey
Bobby.
There. Yeah,
Robbie.
Hey, there.
Hey, Robbie.
How about Dispense's Kitty Kingdom? Now, there's another place that wasn't in Elmhurst.
Speaking of Joe Tate.
Uh-oh.
On the Tilt-A-Whirl thing, I think it was called.
Oh, no.
At Dispense's. I don't know what Joe was doing before we got on the ride, but when we were up on the ride got stuck. We're swirling around. And Joe decided he needed to let things go at the top, you know. So Joe threw up on the ride at the Spence's Kitty Kingdom, and we were stuck on the top of the ride.
Really?
Yep.
So the little train. Do you remember the little train that went around
the
outside?
Very cute.
So about 30 years ago, I'm up in Door County, and I'm at a place called Thumb Fun, just north of Fish Creek.
Thumb
Fun, not fun. Some fun, Thumb Fun.
Yeah. Sounds like you're lisping.
Exactly. And they've got a little train that's similar to the one at Dispenses, and I'm with my friend, my good friend Chuck Smurs, and Chuck says to the guy, boy, that looks a lot like the train I used to operate at Dispenses Kitty Kingdom.
Wait, he was the operator?
He was. You know, he worked there part-time. Anyway, it turns out it was the train. So that train lives on at Thumb Fun in Door County, assuming Thumb Fun is still open and a viable place.
Very cool.
And, of course, there was the Castle of Toys right next door.
Dispenses and, Kitty Kingdom.
Those closed in the mid-'80s, both the Kitty Kingdom and the Castle of Toys. So we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about some other fun places we like to visit in town and some great ways that we used to pass time.
Wow. Guests of the Lowdown will receive an Elmhurst Eatown Lowdown coffee mug suitable for all types of beverages, courtesy of the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra.
And we're back with the inaugural podcast for the E-Town Lowdown with Robbie and Rick, and we have our producer extraordinaire, PK, with us today. And in our last segment, we talked about some businesses that we missed in town, things that either don't exist anymore or exist in a different form. How about some other things that we did when we were growing up and some things that just don't happen anymore? PK?
Well, thinking about that a little bit, we remember talking about, do kids actually eat lunch at school? Or, I'm sorry, not eat lunch at school, but do they go home for lunch?
It's in the public schools, it's definitely the exception. And yeah. I know when Robbie and I in the public schools, most kids went home.
Yeah,
you were kind of an outcast if you stayed at school and right. both of your parents worked. Nowadays, it's the opposite. If you want your kid to come home for lunch,
right.
you've got to call them out. And,
yeah.
You know, it's a big hassle. So that's changed. I mean, most kids really went home and walked to school, too.
Right.
And back.
Nobody walks to school.
6 miles uphill both ways.
Have you guys ever been in front of a school when they're dropping the kids off? It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes.
That's probably one of the daily issues that the police department really right. doesn't want right. to have to deal with.
And all these schools now, they're starting to build them where they have like a drive-up roundabout thing so the kids can be dropped off efficiently and such. It's right. crazy.
Robbie, any things you remember from your childhood, places you used to go?
I used to play in the band at Sandberg. I played the trumpet. And
did you play it well?
Well, I guess you could say that because I was
well, you
the
played
first
it.
Chair. I was the first chair out of 15. So
really?
I guess I was good. But the reason I had to stop playing the trumpet when I got to York
I
High School.
I figured you for a flute player, Bobby.
Well, a lot of people say that, but it was a trumpet, and I had to quit because my friends made fun of me on the football team for having to go to a private lesson
there
instead
you go.
Of practice. So they were out there sweating their buns off, and I got to go have a private lesson.
Although it's funny, they made fun of you back then, and if you were an extraordinary trumpet player right now, they'd probably think you were really cool.
I miss it. I really do. Yeah.
So where do you guys stand on fireworks in town? I mean, when we were kids, we had fireworks here in Elmhurst.
We went from trumpets right to fireworks?
Exactly. I remember being at Butterfield Park watching fireworks as a kid. And then for a while, they were Barron's Park. And then we had no fireworks for a long time.
Well, we used to venture up if we were willing, if we could get like a visa or a passport. We could go to Bensonville and see the fireworks at White Pines.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I remember, courtesy of our good old Elmhurst Chamber of Commerce and Industry and the sponsor Community Bank of Elmhurst, we actually had fireworks in downtown Elmhurst.
Oh,
in 2003 and 2004.
Yeah, weren't they like you could view them from the?
You could view them from anywhere downtown, but they were actually launched from the top of the Schiller parking garage.
Right, right, Eric. That was a great idea. Wow. Yeah,
but other than that, since 2004, again, we haven't had any sanctioned fireworks displays in Elmhurst. Maybe some unsanctioned.
You know, it's funny. I miss them. Although if they were being displayed, I don't know if I would go and watch them. I'd just watch them from my deck at home.
Robbie, do you like fireworks?
I do. I like to build them. I like to blow them off.
You like to light them?
I have a unique way of having a firework and lighting it and not being anywhere around when it goes off. So you take a cigarette, a lit cigarette, and put it on the end.
Right.
And then you walk away. I used to do this at my parents' house in Wisconsin. We'd put the cigarette on there. We'd put it outside. We'd light it. And we'd go back, sit around the table, and it would go off, and it would shake the house. And we'd look at my parents and say, no, we didn't do it. How could we do it?
I think that's a trick from the Anarchist Cookbook.
We've got to make sure we set your folks up so they can listen to your podcast, Robbie. Because I think they might enjoy it.
Yes.
So do you guys remember when all the Blackhawks lived here in town?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Name a few, PK.
There was Stan Mikita. There was...
He's the guy with the donut shop, right?
No, Stan Mikita.
Wayne's World.
We had Bobby Hull.
Tony Esposito.
Actually, you know what? My wife.
Keith Brown?
My wife used to babysit for some of those guys.
Really?
Yeah, right. And it was pretty cool that they were all in Elmhurst.
Jeremy Roenick lived in Elmhurst, too. He lived a couple blocks from
Well, actually, years down the road, who was the guy? He lived down the street from me growing up, or when I was later on in life. He was one of the muscle guys. Come on, help me out. No. Moose Fasco. Actually, I worked with Moose Fasco's son years ago. That was Dave Vasco. And Moose Fasco was funny. He was a Blackhawk when they didn't make a lot of money, and then he opened up a hot dog stand at the Hillside Shopping Center. But, Al Secord. Al Secord lived in town. He was one of the muscle guys for the Hawks back in the day. That was probably like in the 80s, though.
And, of course, Grant Mulvey still lives here in Elmhurst.
He's
been a longtime resident and had a eating and drinking establishment with his wife here in town.
Wasn't
PJ
that,
Mulvey's?
PJ Mulvey's became Riley's.
Yeah, exactly. Great establishment. How about Sugar Creek Golf Course? Remember when that opened in the mid-70s?
That was a big thing.
It actually opened 2 days before our nation's bicentennial.
Wow.
July 2nd, 1976.
You are the historian.
That's my country club.
Right next, it is. You've always referred to that, Robbie. And, of course, right next door where the Walmart is now was a driving range. Remember the driving range that was there for many years?
You know what's funny? I was going to say, isn't it still there?
I think it's still there. And they have.
That's a different driving
range.
It's
not, though. Yeah.
That's a completely different driving range.
I do
range.
Remember that for sure.
Now, one of my fond memories growing up is when I lived in the center part of town, central part of town, about two blocks from where the old hospital was. I remember my father walking me over to where the hospital was going to build a new parking garage and us watching the fire department do a controlled burn and actually burn homes down that were going to be
taken away
basically
because
the
of
the
hospital?
The new garage, I think, that they were building at the hospital.
Oh, for the new garage.
Right wow. along 3rd Street. So,
wow. Yeah,
I don't think they do that anymore. And, of course, the hospital where it was, there are Chiller and Berteau, is long gone and moved down to the south end of
big, beautiful campus
town
on the south side of town.
And there's the big mystery. Where is the cupola? We will ask one of our future guests. The cupola off the top of Elmhurst Memorial Hospital.
I hear that's a deep question.
I heard it's in hiding, and some folks hope it just goes away.
Actually, down on that south side, there is that one house down by the new hospital development. Pretty curious where the parking lot surrounds the house that didn't move.
That is interesting.
We should get that guy in for an interview.
We should We just may do that. So who remembers the seven schools that were closed at the end of the 70s?
Washington.
Can you name them? Okay, Washington's one.
Yeah.
Roosevelt,
that's one.
It was Roosevelt, not Roosevelt.
Roosevelt, two. Yorkfield.
Oh, wasn't Madison closed?
Madison, four.
Yeah.
Eldridge. Crestview. And the last one that nobody ever gets is now in Barron's Park, and it's the Joanne B. Wagner Center. What was that called?
Oh.
Edison?
Oh. No. It was called, I've been there since then.
Starts with a vegetable, a yellow vegetable.
Squash.
Corneal. For those of you who don't remember.
Corneal School, yes, right.
The other things we...
What was that area called up there on the north side of town?
I don't know.
I do, but I best not say the name.
It was the Barron's Park area.
And one of the things that I think has changed the most about the town is the building of the underpass. When we were kids...
Huge.
You were always waiting for
a
train. Robbie, do you remember waiting for trains with your parents?
I do. I remember waiting there, not being in a car, and I actually held on to the gates that were going up. And I had to, I wouldn't let go because I was scared. And I dropped down off of it when it was straight up in the air and banged my head on the metal thing. And it was not pretty.
So the underpass was really welcome for you, huh? And your parents,
it was,
especially.
It was good for my health.
Before we wrap up this next segment, I want to talk quickly about a couple of events that were significant. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, are we back?
Wake up there, PK. We're back.
We're back. Okay.
A couple of significant events that happened in our lifetime here in town. A couple of them were weather-related, one of which was a few blizzards. Now, we had the blizzard of 67.
I do remember it.
And I happened to be in California when that happened for about a year, so I missed it.
Yeah. You were so I was there, or here, in Elmhurst at the time. My grandfather died in Tucson, Arizona, and my dad had to get down to the airport to make arrangements for his father. And the neighbors on our street in little old Linden Avenue in Elmhurst, they all came out and they shoveled the street so my dad could get out of the driveway and get over to the airport.
That's the kind of town Elmhurst is, isn't
Absolutely.
It? Everybody helps
Everybody
each other.
Pitched in. It was pretty
Robbie,
cool.
Robbie, do you have any memories of the blizzard of 67?
I do. I remember having to walk to school, and the snowdrifts were taller than I was because I was only 7 years old back then.
They're probably still taller than you ended up. But, you know, not that there's anything wrong with being short, but just
you don't
saying.
Bump your head a lot, let's say.
And then, of course, there was the blizzard of 79. Remember that winter, 78, 79? That was a pretty nasty winter also.
I remember my friends and I would be driving down the streets, and we saw somebody stuck. We'd jump out of the car and push them so they could start their car again.
Do either of you remember that
you
we had...
You know what I remember about the winter of 79?
Absolutely not.
The blizzard of 79? There was a lot of snow.
There was. Do either of you remember April 2nd and 3rd of 1975? And I think it's April, right? We're out of it.
Holy
11
cow.
Inches.
What?
11 inches of snow between April 2nd and April 3rd of 75 at O'Hare. 11 inches of snow. Very unexpected. Snow. Came out of nowhere.
Wow.
And then, of course, there was an event that kind of changed the course of Elmhurst and cost us a lot of money and changed the way we do a lot of things, and that was the infamous flood of 1987.
Yeah, that was crazy. People in boats.
Sandbags.
Boats.
Yep, lots of sandbags.
Boats on Spring Road. Yeah.
And it, you know, mostly affected South Elmhurst, but look what's happened since then with the dikes or the way we built around Salt Creek. And
the dikes?
Well, whatever it is.
Okay.
It's a berm.
Berm.
It's a
okay,
dike. It's a berm. It's the same thing.
But, nothing personal.
No. But and all the flooding that's happened since, you know, we have the 100-year flood, it seems like, every 3 or 4 years. So things have changed there. And then one of the most significant events I remember from the 70s is the visit by Jimmy Carter. Bob, do you remember when President Carter visited town?
I do. He stayed over by...
stayed at the Walls House.
At the Walls House. Is that over by Redeemer Church there?
It's just south of there at Arlington and May, I believe.
And lots of security. I remember that.
I remember my brother's friend Jimmy Klatt delivered his newspaper. He actually spent the night at the Walls House, which was very unusual for a president to spend the night at a private residence.
Oh, I thought you said the newspaper delivery boys... left spend the night.
No,
that would be
no.
Unusual.
The president spent the night, not the newspaper boy.
That would be unusual.
It was, but that was a neat event in town. So let's take a quick break before we start our last segment, and we'll be right back.
The E-Town Lowdown, brought to you by the wonderful folks at the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra, featuring the biggest bass drum in the world. At 9 feet in diameter. Yes, you heard that right. 9 feet in diameter.
And we're back with the E-Town Lowdown's inaugural podcast featuring Robbie and Rick and our producer extraordinaire, PK. We're here in...
right here with you.
Yeah, hot tub high above Butterfield Park. And would you turn the bubbles off there, Robbie?
You got it.
Thank you. That's better. In our last segment, I want to talk a little bit about our upcoming guests. And we have several really interesting guests coming up. And Robbie, why don't you tell our listeners about them?
Well, we're going to have our wonderful mayor of Elmhurst, Mr. Steve Morley.
And what will Mayor Morley talk about?
Well, hopefully he'll be talking about the city of Elmhurst, how he plans to build it up, make it better, make it more attractive for people to move to.
And I think you'll find that interview interesting because he will be candid, and we might ask him a few questions he's not expecting that have nothing to do with being mayor of Elmhurst. Right?
That's right.
And a special guest that we have coming up, his name is Bob Robertson Sr. And, Robbie, why don't you tell us about him?
Well, I'm related to him.
How are you related to him?
He's my dad.
Oh, my gosh. Full disclosure.
Yeah, and he's got a good story that has to do with losing his father when he was just 3 years old, and then going to work when he was 8. And it's a good story about starting out in the very, you know, as a butcher for Jewel and then working his way up to president CEO of White Hen Pantry. So there'll be a lot more that he'll share, including a lot of information about kinds of meat.
Meat. Interesting. Interesting.
He was a butcher.
Another guest that we have coming up is Mr. Pete Griffin. Pete is the chair of the music department at Elmhurst College, and Pete has some very interesting stories related to one of his previous jobs, where in particular he was the director of the University of Illinois Marching Illini Band. And Pete has some great stories about going to bowl games and visiting other Big Ten schools. And I think you'll all find that very interesting, and we'll also ask him a few questions he probably doesn't expect. Another upcoming guest is a gentleman who grew up here in town, Colonel Mark Mallon, and he's got some interesting stories about his service and growing up here in Elmhurst. He's done some... Colonel Mallon has served in Iraq and several other places around the world. He's got some great stories, so we look forward to sharing them with you. Also, Robbie, why don't you tell the listeners about the spiritual leader of the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra who will be joining us also.
Mr. Scott Lamort. He has an interesting story to tell as well. A lot of what he does is fundraising for terrific causes, and the EAO is just one of those. He doesn't raise money for it, but he's our spiritual leader.
Is that the Dr. Scott Lamort?
Dr. Scott Lamort, yes, yeah. Right. He is basically the drum major of the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra, and the Elmhurst Armpit Orchestra has a really neat story, too, of how it came to be, and it's a fun group that sponsors our podcast. So, hey, this has been fun, hasn't it, PK?
The time of my life.
Robbie?
I'll never be the same.
Never be the same. Well, hopefully you'll be interested enough to come back and join us when we have a celebrity guest and not just the three of us. But we wanted to give you a feel for the nature of our program, and I really hope that you'll be back. So thanks for listening, and look for our next podcast soon. Thank you.
Take care, everybody. Come on back now.
See you later.